Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. We are well into the school year. So, as always, strap on your thinking cap, because you're going to have to dig a little deeper today. I'm going to make it easy. You're going to get more educated. And that's the solution. You know, lots of people ask me, what's the solution? I don't sometimes get a solution to the problem, Medici, they say. Well, let me respond like this. If you're locked into the very, very superficial notion of taking your symptom and doing your internet searches, listening to your radio shows, and looking for solutions based upon, I have the symptom, and what's the herbal cure? Well, I think that's a great place to start. Don't let me underestimate that, and I don't want you to think that in any way that that's not a good thing for you to do. But lots of people live for years with complicated problems that don't meet that test. They fail the test of the herb symptom cure. Now, looking at this over the years, I have been compelled, and I truly mean this, compelled to try to find how to give the public better ways about taking that second and third step towards their own inquiry. Before you have to go to the doctor, or even while you're going to the doctor, what can you bring to the doctor's visit, the doctor's office, that can enhance your understanding of what that doctor's trying to do? There's just so much misdirection, allopathically, holistically, so on and so forth, between the doctor and the patient, or between the patient or the person just on their own journey by themselves in their living room over the years, not seeking any counsel, just adding up the information. There's so much confusion for them. And I think the reason is, you just haven't gotten it through your head yet, the American public, that to take this to the next level, you have to get more educated. So really, when you listen to this show, first pat yourself on the back if you understand this. If it's your first time, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. As always, get to the website. If you're listening in the car, obviously you can't. I'll compensate you for that. But next time, my friend, onto the website. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's two T's, straighttalk.cc. Why? Because if you want to take it to second base, if you want to get out of that herb symptom issue, and the herb just hasn't delivered for you yet, and you've tried a few, you got to take it to the next level. All right, I'm never going to stop saying it, because I always hear people just don't get it yet, and so we're going to get them to get it. Okay, what we're going to do today is get into classifications or typing. Now, what do I mean by typing? When you're thinking of your symptom, your health concern, so put that down on a sheet of paper, lock it into your head. Your particular symptom, your health concern, whether you want radiant health or whether you're struggling with a symptom that you've had for years that hasn't responded. Your next question is, how do I approach it nutritionally? What do I do specific to me? And as I said, I'm going to say it again anyway, the first thing you do is you look for the easy fix. What does the literature say? What does the radio host say? What does the purveyor of the herbal supplement say can help your particular problem? Dry eyes, thinning hair, low back pain, joint issues. But after that, one of the things that you can learn, and you can learn this today over the next 60 minutes with me, is how to type yourself. Typing. What is it about you, specifically you, that falls into a specific category, unlike your neighbor, unlike your friend, unlike your brother or sister? What category do you fall into? What type are you? Such that you can then start to assemble a more specific, tailored nutritional program for you. And you can do this if you're willing to educate yourself, which I know you are. So I'm going to lay out a bunch of systems today, typing systems. Now, what do I mean? Blood type. What's your blood type? That's a typing system. The Ayurvedic system of Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. The oxidative sympathetic, parasympathetic system. The Chinese system of the wood type, the fire type, the earth type, the metal type. Astrology. Yeah. Astrology. Are you a Capricorn? Are you a Libra? Are you a Sagittarius? This is not a cult. In the Middle Ages, all your physicians. In the Renaissance, all your physicians were astrologers. It had nothing whatsoever to do with occult science. Nothing. The Catholic Church, even the Protestant Church, very, very simpatico with doctors that understood the astrology. Why? Because you can find out things about the person. Capricorns have bad teeth. Capricorns get pain in their knees. People under the Aries sign, born in April, they tend to suffer more from fire signs because Aries is a fire element. All sorts of stuff like that. So add astrology to that list of what we call typing. Anthropology, where are you born? Should an Eskimo eat like someone from Nicaragua or Brazil? That's the question I pose to you. And how should a Nicaraguan versus someone from Finland understand their joint pain? Could it be that the joint pain in each of those two anthropologies are going to end up resulting in a different way for each of them to approach nutritionally and otherwise their joint pain? Is the joint pain of the Nicaraguan or the Colombian or the Brazilian the same joint pain of the Swede or the Finn? Well, no, it's not. You've got to bring in the anthropology. Then there was Henry Beeler. We'll talk a little bit, if we have time today, about Henry Beeler. Get the book, Food. Food is thy best medicine. And Beeler talked about a man at the turn of the century, Dr. Howell, H-O-W-E-L-L. And he divided people based on the structure of their skull, etc., into three types. The pituitary type, the thyroid type, and the adrenal type. Again, another typing. Bernard Jensen, get a book. I didn't put this on the website, so remember it. Go out and get this book. This is a book that someone needs to read and really get through other than myself. The Chemistry of Man by Bernard Jensen. Everyone knows Bernard Jensen. He died fairly recently, within the last decade. He had a farm out there in Escondido. That farm was a health center. It goes back to the days when doctors were teachers. We turn them into diagnosticians and people that prescribe therapies or prognoses. But Jensen had the older concept, and I think it's a better concept. I think it's a concept that needs to come back. He had a farm, and on the farm came people, people to learn, people to educate. And Jensen was the premier educator. Well, Jensen studied with a guy named Racine, R-O-C-I-N-E. And he had about 20 different classifications of people. I'll try to get into that before the end of the day. But the book, if you're interested, is The Chemistry of Man, Bernard Jensen. Tough book to get, definitely out of print. But you can find them on Amazon, the used ones, with the dust collecting on their pages. All the great work. Racine. No one's ever even heard of Racine. The Scandinavians. From stuff that started in Europe a couple of hundred years ago, figured out how to classify people into different categories, another classification system. Now, if you look at that as a totality, Vata, Pitta, Kapha, blood type, oxidative classifications, Chinese classifications, are you a wood type, a fire type, an earth type, a metal type? the astrology, because each sign is earth, air, water, or fire. And if you really break down astrology, astrology is when you're born. Say you're a Capricorn, that's an earth sign. But within that, we want to know the time you're born, and that gives you the rising sign. And that also is earth, air, water, or fire. And then there's the moon. And the moon is also in that astrological categorization, so that, this is important, when you're talking astrology, you can be talking, if someone's born October 10th and they're a Libra, or someone's born June 15th and they're a Gemini, those are air signs. Somebody's rising sign and moon sign on top of their sun sign can also be air signs. That can make somebody triple air. Triple air versus triple water versus triple fire. These are incredibly important as far as the way you're going to live your life and the kind of symptoms you're going to get if you don't understand how to balance those imbalances. No one is born balanced. Racine said that. No one is born balanced. Medicine is about balancing the imbalances. In the Vedic system, the Vata, the Pitta, and the Kapha, if someone's a very high Kapha, meaning they're very, very thick in the bones, large in the face, wide in the cheekbones, thick in the legs, they tend to congest. They tend to build mucus. They tend to move towards diabetes and heart disease. They tend, when they get a pneumonia, that pneumonia is so tough to get on the other side of. If you have a Kapha that's a triple water sign and they get pneumonia, you have an enormous challenge if that person's over 60 years old to get them on the other side. And these are the functional sorts of dynamics. But that's going too fast, so we're going to pull it back now and let's start from the beginning. Classifications. The Vata, the Pitta, and the Kapha. That's an Ayurvedic classification. Vedic medicine goes back 20, 30, 40,000 years. Their parchments go back that far. That's not highly argued. That's sort of one of those little things that gets snuck under the table. Yeah, you can carbon date information written on different types of organic materials that go back a lot longer than 7, 8,000 years. So we know these teachings go back a long, long time. And Ayurvedic medicine today is practiced in India and in the United States. And in India, in a family, one son may be a cardiologist. Another son may be a Vedic physician. You know, their schooling is very similar up to a certain point. They don't sit at the Christmas table and debate who got the better education, who's the superior student, who's the smarter of the two. It's equally respected. Vedic medicine is a big deal. Ayurvedic physicians, Vasant Lad, one of our most notorious, exquisitely trained, extremely effective. Not as common as the Chinese medical doctor, the OMD. The licensed acupuncturist with a lot more training on top of that. They're around. They're out there. They're functioning. They come from systems that are powerful. Well, the Ayurvedic system classified people, first advancement for the most part over Western nutrition. They classify people as Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. And if I were going to give to you the salient distinction, the real distinction between the Vata, the Pitta, and the Kapha, it's to be found in bone structure. Bone structure. How thick is the bone? So if we're going to talk about the quintessential Vata, we're going to talk about Audrey Hepburn. We're going to talk about Ally McBeal. We're going to talk about Fred Astaire. We're going to talk about your average runway model. They're very small boned. We don't have big boned models anymore. You know, that was a Howard Hughes thing. Howard Hughes had a breast thing. He had this fixation on giant-sized breasts. So in the 30s, when he took over a studio, he bought himself a studio. He started making films. He was casting people with enormous breasts. The farm girls from Kansas who were drinking all that dairy, just sucking down all that extra progesterone and estrogen, translating it into the hormonal system, produced women from the Corn Belt with enormous breasts. And Hughes had this thing about that. He thought that was like the ideal, so he cast them. And this took at least for 20, 30 years. We shifted from, okay, the small-breasted, thin-boned female of the 20s into the wider-hipped, larger-breasted woman that culminated, in a sense, with Sophia Loren and Raquel Welch in the 50s and the 60s. That big-boned woman is the Kapha. That small-boned male or female is the Audrey Hepburn, the Ally McBeal, the Fred Astaire. Who are you? You might be the third one, the Pitta. The Kapha is more like the elephant. And that's not derogatory, so don't misunderstand that. The elephant is large, it's powerful, it moves more slowly. Once it starts its stampede, like the rhinoceros, it'll knock down anything in its way. The Vata is more like the bird. It's slight. It's more nervous. And we'll get into what it demands in its lifestyle to support it. But there's a third type. That type is called the Pitta, P-I-T-T-A. The Pitta is like the snake. The Pitta is the jaguar. The Pitta is a hunk of tendon. The dosha, we call them the doshas. Are you Vata, are you Pitta, or are you Kapha? If you're out there spinning in space, looking to figure out how to take care of your symptoms, you've tried that round of herbs, you've run the gamut of herbs from this place to that place to the other, you've done your internet research, as you call it, and you don't know where you're going and what to do next, begin to classify yourself. It will help you. Because classifications build shifts in lifestyle. And it's really the shift in lifestyle that will deliver you. The herb will speed it up. I want you to think of it that way. Henceforth, the herb will speed it up. The lifestyle change will deliver you. The foundation is lifestyle. The acceleration is the herb. There are very important reasons to do herbs. And never misunderstand this show as a show that doesn't support the use of the herb. What I want to give you in this show is a deeper reason to take the herb, additional reasons. And my point is that too often, just this simplistic herb symptom approach doesn't work. And the American public has to understand you need to take that next step. Well, I don't have to tell you. You already listened to the show. Or might this be your first time? If it is, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. That's two T's, .cc, not .com. That's 949-873-2127, 949-873-2127. Give me a call. Give us a call if you're spinning and you need to get on track. Vata, Pitta, Kapha. So let's talk about the Vata. Let's talk about the runway model. Tiny bones. Big deal here. They don't do well under stress. They don't do well under stress. They don't slow down under stress. They tend to speed up under stress. Under stress, it's going to hit them when they're 30. It's going to hit them when they're 40. They're going to break. Their wires fry very easily. Now, the upside to the Vata is they're very charming. They're very ethereal. There is a reason that we use the Vata in the American public today as the quintessential model. The ethereal, effervescent, elevated, spiritually conscious Vata. The Audrey Hepburn type. There's a reason. That's their upside. Their downside is they break easily. More easily. They also come back faster. That's the flip side to the Vata. They come back faster. Here's another thing about the VADA. So the VADA doesn't ever get sick. The VADA needs regularity. Katharine Hepburn needed regularity. The VADA needs to do the same thing at the same time. She needs a routine. If you knock a VADA out of their routine, it fries their nervous system. The VADA is not the type that runs out of the house late, speeds through traffic, breaks all the rules, is talking on the cell phone, hopefully not, but is talking through the speakerphone of the cell phone, is eating a sandwich at the same time and listening to the radio and yelling at the person across from them and talking to somebody in the car. The VADA is not that. The VADA is they get up on time, they get to work with lots of extra time, they make sure they check the weather report, they make sure they check the traffic report. They're always looking to do things easily, without stress. The average kapha will overpower the VADA. The pitta will overpower the VADA. The VADA will have to go around the larger beast. The VADAs have to be very, very flexible. Often they actually are in their physique. Look at that Fred Astaire. The VADA irritates. The VADA discombobulates through the digestive system. Your IBSs, your inflammatory bowel conditions, your Crohn's diseases, these are very VADA-esque. The kapha, the Sophia Loren, the Jane Russell, the Mike Tyson, the Pavarotti, the kapha is filled with mucus. The big-boned kapha is filled with mucus. Nothing's going to inflame that digestive system. They may die in a big biofilm of sludge. They may ooze mucus from every pore of their body. It may take them an hour or two to get started in the morning. They may be slow to anger. But the kapha eats what the kapha wants to eat. The kapha doesn't get IBS. And of course, as we go on today, you have to understand, these are the stereotypes. The stereotypical VADA, the stereotypical pitta, the stereotypical kapha. We call them, if they fit the stereotype, the high VADA, the high pitta, the high kapha. But you can be a blend. In the ideal of it, like Racine was saying, or like the Vedics will say, really, the ideal is to be tridoshic, to have equal amounts of VADA and pitta and kapha. Lots of people are VADA and pitta, but little kapha. Then there are people that are pitta and kapha, but a little bit VADA. Then there are people that are VADA and kapha, but not too much pitta. So you got to understand, these are not mutually exclusive. One does not mean you don't have the other. But they are essential for you to understand how to take another step in your health or another step within your herbal program. There are VADA herbs, kapha herbs, and then, of course, there are pitta herbs. A pitta herb is not an herb. Well, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but a kapha herb is not an herb that's going to be thick and rich. Amla, Chayavanaprash, what you might know as Chayapro, is not something that the kapha generally enjoys. The kapha eats that fudge, that big brown, thick ghee, coconut oil, jaggery, the amla berry. It eats that fudge, the kapha, and says, I don't need this. I'm already rich in hormone. Sophia Loren doesn't eat that and say, oh, I need this because I'm not rich enough in hormones. Sophia Loren in her 30s and 40s and 50s, she looked 30 years younger and she functioned like a 20-year-old. And she was still so rich and fertile in hormone. There's the VADA. There's the Katharine Hepburn type, the Audrey Hepburn type. At 20 years old, starting to thin out in the hormonal system. Something like Chayavanaprash, Chayapro as you know it. Perfect remedy for her. Fertilizing foods are the foods of the VADA. When the VADA gets sick, you're a VADA, if you have not too much meat on the bone, if your bones are small, if you're 5'7" and 102 pounds, 105 pounds, if you've got that physique that the model has, and you're sick, meat and fat. Meat and fat. The herb will not be your friend. Well, I shouldn't say that in the extreme, because something like Chaya Pro is fantastic food for you. Any herb that nourishes, that fertilizes, is a fantastic food for you if you're a Vata and you're not well. But really, the Vata has to attach to the oils, the fats, the raw fats, the meats, the rare meats, the warming vegetables, the soups, the GAPS diet, the paleo diet, this genre, but it has to be textured. We're going to texture it because we're going to add the Chinese system. Then we're going to add the blood system, the blood types. Then we're going to add Beeler's systems. Then we're going to add Jensen's systems. You're going to keep tailoring your classification until everything that intersects within the classification really hones in on you. You get it? You get the point? You may be a triple air sign. So catch this, because I'm going to introduce it just for a moment, see if you can follow. You may be a triple air sign. You may be Libra in your sun sign, Gemini in your rising sign, and another air sign in your moon. You may be a double Gemini Libra or a triple Gemini, and you may be very fat. A triple Gemini, that's triple air, that's very overweight. A triple Gemini, that's very overweight. All right, for the bottle of Carl, and you guys know I'll come through. Give me an understanding, okay, of what a triple air sign that's very overweight is doing with that extra 150 pounds on her body. For that bottle of Carl, and you know I'll come through, give me an understanding. First three people, I'll give it to you that way. The first three people, so we're going to go on record here, public radio, the first three people that can tell me what a triple air sign, a triple Gemini, born in June, the rising sign is Gemini, which is an air sign, and the moon sign is Gemini. Triple air is up to when they're packing on an extra 150 pounds. What's the dynamic behind that? Explain it. That's a good question for you. Because you guys are getting too smart for my other questions. My last, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks of doing this, we'd have like 20 winners. We've metered it out to the first two or three. But 20? You guys are getting too smart. Pat yourself on the back if it's the first time you're listening to this show. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. To the website you go, straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's two T's, straighttalk.cc. You see what you're learning already? Categorizations. How to take it beyond the herb symptom approach. It's a theme in this show. Are you a Vata? Are you a Pitta? Are you a Kapha? If you're a Vata, you need organization. You need systematization. You need gentility. You need meat and you need fat. Don't waste your time on those carbs. Those carbs aren't going to put any meat on your bone. They're going to just give you empty fat. You want to put on some muscle. You want to put on some girth. The minute you get too small, Miss Vata, Mr. Vata, your nervous system can't handle the world. Your endocrine system needs meat and fat, or you don't sleep. Your endocrine system needs meat and fat, or you'll have a breakdown. And you may have all the energy in the world. You know, Vatas are like birds. So Vatas have a ton of energy. They're always flying around, doing as much as they can do in a day. They're moving quickly. Vatas move quickly. They don't move slow. They move fast. The body gets up and doesn't stop until they hit the pillow, they fall asleep, they get up. Very creative, very successful, very driven very often. And then one day, crack, goes the vada. They break down. They don't get up. They're good healers. They do heal. It's a plus for a vada. But the vadas get down, and they do it through the nervous system. The nervous system starts to fry itself. The relationship between stress and their intestinal villi is such that stress and the way they process their world begins to cringe, it begins to twist, it begins to subvert the intestinal villi, so they stop absorbing correctly. All right, pitta. The pitta. Who's the pitta? Well, if we were going to pick a pitta, we'd say Julia Roberts is a pitta. Sting, formerly of the Police, the musician Sting, is a pitta. Joan Crawford in her youth, actually Joan Crawford the whole way through, was a pitta. Brad Pitt, no pun intended, is really a pitta. Angelina Jolie is a vata. She's a vata, but she has the temperament of a pitta. So she's actually vata pitta. She's actually vata 1.5 or vata 1.5 and pitta 1.5. If each classification, vata, pitta, kapha, is a 1, so you can be, you've got to distribute those 3 points. Angelina Jolie might be a vata 2 and a pitta 1. Or maybe a pitta 1.5 and a vata 1.5. She's obviously not kapha. I don't know if those lips of hers are as thick as that at birth. I don't know if, in fact, those sort of like almond-shaped eyes really qualify her for a vata, for a kapha. But that's a little bit of kapha, because her eyes are shaped like a cat. Her lips, at least, minus whatever injection she may have had, are more the kapha. Thick lips and cat-like eyes are kapha. But when you compare that to her tiny bones, you can see the cough is very small. So we're making this characterization functional now in Angelina Jolie. She's not too much kapha. She's definitely vata, but she's got a very aggressive, direct, hard streak to her, like Crawford did, like Julia Roberts does. These are tough cookies. These are women who know how to survive in the film industry. These are women who are not afraid to take a bite out of you. That's the pitta. The aggression is the pitta. The pitta are like jaguars. The cheetah is a vata. The jaguar is a pitta. A lion is a kapha. You understand. Brad Pitt. I think Brad Pitt is largely pitta. He's not particularly kapha. He's got some vata in there. The bone structure, really. Small bone, medium bone, large boned. Brad Pitt is medium boned. He's not big boned. He's not like Mike Tyson. He's not like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's not like Marlon Brando. But he's not small boned either, is he? Well, that's the pitta. Sting is vata pitta. Sting has some vada in him, but Sting is sinewy. He's got sinew. He's got meat on the bone. He's got some angularity to him. He's more like the jaguar than the cheetah. And Julia Roberts, definitely pitta. Joan Crawford, definitely pitta. The pitta is fire. The pitta is the sheath of sinewy muscle. Elephants don't have sinews the way jaguars do. Jaguars have sinews, meaning their muscles are very tendon dominated. They get cut fast. When you work out in the gym, how quickly do you get cut? Well, the elephant doesn't get too cut, no matter what the elephant does. Or I should say the elephant's a little slower to get cut. Really, if you really want to analyze it, The pitta is all high twitch muscle fiber and not a lot of fat. The pitta is sirloin steak. The kapha is porterhouse or T-bone. The vada just doesn't have a lot of meat on the bone, so we can't make the analogy. The vada is spare ribs. There's the comparison. The vada doesn't have a lot of meat on the bone. It's the chicken neck. It's the wing. The pitta is sirloin steak. There's not a lot of fat in that muscle, so it's sinewy. So pound for pound, it's very strong. The more fat you burn out of the muscle, the less fascia you put in the muscle, the more pure muscle and tendon you have. Pound for pound, the more contractile force you exert when you contract. That's the pitta. Pitters make great athletes. Athletes that have a weight limitation, that's the perfect pitta competition. If you're a middleweight fighter and you can't go over 150 pounds or whatever the cutoff is for the middleweight fighter, if you're a UFC fighter and you're middleweight, you want all the muscle you can get for the weight. A short kapha, if a kapha is 5'7", that's short. That kapha might be competing for his weight class against people that are 6'2". That's the problem for the kapha in boxing. Certainly in basketball, we don't see that many kaphas, do we? They're there, but we don't see that many. You get the point. So what about the kapha with all the sinews? What about the kapha that makes heat? The kapha tends to inflame. Now, why does the kapha inflame? Because of the liver of the kapha goes to fire. Now, I want you to get this connection here because it's so fundamental. The classic pitta imbalance is somebody with fat in their liver, a red face. They're not flexible. Their liver enzymes are elevated. They've got all sorts of musculoskeletal tension. They might be in an early stage fibrosis within the hepatocyte system. Their biliary system is clogged, so they can't cool down their pitta. They're going to have a rough time with spicy food. Hopefully, they're not drinkers. If they're drinkers, that heat that hits the liver of the pitta, combined with their natural inherent genetic tendency to inflame, means disease. It means trouble. Now, here's the secret if you're a pitta. So if you're out there jiving to this, and pittas can have tempers. Joan Crawford's temper was legion. Julia Roberts has a temper. Pittas can have tempers. Why? Because temper is fire. Pittas are fire. Vadas are air. Pittas are fire. Kaphas are water, earth. So there you've got the quintessential pitta, sinewy, like a cat, like a jaguar, fiery, like a jaguar. Quick, darting hunks of sinew, strong, flashing muscle, getting what they want, taking down their prey. You build heat. Now, here's the secret. Are you a pitta? Here's the secret. It's so simple. It's right in front of your face. It's why your herbs are failing. It's why your disease or your illness hasn't moved, because you never got flexible. And even if you're getting flexible, you're not getting flexible correctly. The pitta must get flexible in the tendon. They must burn the stretch into the tendon. If you get that in your pitta, if you get that and you just want to get flexible, if you get that and you just want to learn for your own edification about holistic health, in those sentences, I just gave you an entire paradigm. You have to burn the fire out of the tendon. That means you have to connect to the tendon. Connect to it. This means you got to feel the tension in the tendon, which means you have to master the type of pose. Which means 80% of the yoga out there is missing the point, because they're not going to do it. But if you can wrap your mind around finding the tension in the tendon, the shoulder tendon, the elbow tendon, the wrist tendon, the ankle tendon, the tendon behind the knee, the tendons in the hip, the tendons in the posterior cervical spine, the tendons in the jaw. If you can basically master the pose to where you pull the tendon apart, all the heat from your pitta will drain out through your tendons. The effect of that upon the liver is to cool it. To cool it dramatically, drastically, monumentously, stupendously, sensationally. To cool the heat out of your tendon. To cool the heat out of your liver. Add to that foods without spice. Garlic, cayenne, so on and so forth. Yes, you love those spices. You pay a price for those spices. It's those bland foods. It's those cooling salads. It's drinking enough water. It's being around the earth, nature. It's staying off anything that's going to inflame your digestive tract. But really, where the rubber meets the road is the pitta must be flexible in the tendon. I'm saving you a whole lot of pain if you understand that. Pitta herbs, you're more in the area of coriander. You're more in the area of, well, herbs that cool the liver. Burdock cools the liver. Turmeric heats the liver, but it's such a great herb, I would throw it in there. You pittas, make sure you get bile. Who doesn't need to get bile? Well, we all do. But if you're pitta and you're overheated, high blood pressure, tinnitus, joint pain, fiery tempers, a tendency towards strokes, hemorrhagic strokes, these are all pitta imbalances. Heat rising is the nemesis of the pitta. Eyes popping out of the head, the face is red, or they're internalizing that. Oh, I'm not a pitta, I don't have fire, but my face is red, I don't know why. It's my Indian blood, I like to get tanned out in the sun. This is nonsense. You're internalizing your emotion. You're a pitta that keeps it in. There's pitta that lets it out and pittas that keep it in. Are you a pitta? Just look to your bone structure and your muscular structure. And ask yourself if you tend to run hot. All right. With respect to time, we got to keep going. Never enough time. We could do 4 hours on this show alone. The kapha. The kapha is the rhinoceros. The kapha is the elephant. The kapha is the hippo. Those aren't insults. Those are what they are. Slow to anger. More good-natured, loving, embracing, warming, filled with mucus. Marlon Brando, especially as he aged. Oprah Winfrey, Mike Tyson, Sophia Loren, Raquel Welch, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Great examples of kaphas. Pavarotti, there is another kapha. Kaphas are big-boned, oval-shaped eyes. Thicker lips. You know, if you're into this stuff, you're going to see all these characterizations of vatas, pittas, kaphas. You want to know something? They miss the point. Just stick to the bone structure. The reason they give you those other descriptions is that really, the more you're like that, the more kapha you are. So if a kapha has thicker lips and oval eyes versus thinner lips and more darty eyes, well, they're less kapha than somebody else that has the same bone thickness but oval eyes and thicker lips. So those extras just reinforce. It makes you more and more and more of a kapha. But really, you can delineate between the three types from the physiognomy, the musculoskeletal system. So to keep it simple, that's what I suggest you do, because you're going to be in the right ballpark then. You're sitting there out in the audience, lost in space, trying to heal, not understanding which way you want to go. After you, or before you, call 949-873-2127 so I can put you on the right track. Aside from that, understand your vata, pitta, kapha on the basis of your bone structure. So thicker bones, Mike Tyson, Sophia Loren, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Measure it around the girth of the wrist. Marlon Brando. Those are high kaphas. definitely higher kapha. Elephant, hippo, rhino. The kapha gets congested with mucus. That is the quintessential nemesis for the kapha. The kryptonite for the kapha is the kapha is greasy. Well, that's good. The hair is thicker. There's more hormone to spread around. They last a lot longer from the standpoint of sexual function. The kapha is born with a lot to use. They're a little slower to get going, but they last a lot longer. The pittas have a lot, too. They're a little slower, but not to get started. The pittas know how to dart. The pittas start fast. The pittas may start fast and end early. The kaphas start a little slower and last longer. In a sense, in everything, meet the kapha. All that oil, all that grease, all that hormone, all that thick hair, thick eyelashes. Kaphas have thick eyelashes. Kaphas tend to have skin that's a little bit thicker. Your Latins, your African Americans, they tend to be more kapha-esque. Not always, but more kapha-esque. The nemesis for the kapha is mucus. Mucus, mucus, mucus. Mucus in response, tandem to the oils. The kaphas are oily. The oil helps create mucus. And the mucus is copious, and the mucus lines the intestines, and the mucus gets into the intercellular spaces. The mucus is up in the sinuses. The mucus comes out the lungs. The mucus comes out the bowels. Kaphas can run a little colder. Kaphas go low thyroid. Avada under stress stops eating and thins away. They go hyperthyroid. Very few hyperthyroids are kapha. Most of them are vata. Hyperthyroidism, Graves' disease, where they cut that out, is generally a vata illness. Low thyroid, hypothyroid, is generally kapha. Then you've got Hashimoto's. That's generally pitta, heat. Heat in the thyroid is a pitta problem. Often that's the autoimmune Hashimoto's. See, this is how you apply these things. But a kapha, the kapha's thyroid goes low because the thyroid, the blood gets too thick. Kaphas get sluggish. The blood turns purple. Under the tongue, you're going to see purple-blue. So the essential tongue for the vata is going to be pale white or pale. The pit is going to be fiery red. The kapha is going to be reddish purple, and then underneath it's going to be those thick blue veins. So your quintessential, your stereotypical kapha female at 65 is large breasts and they're cystic. Under the tongue, it's going to be purplish. It's going to be blue, those sublingual veins. The intestines are going to be filled with mucus. The kapha is the one we do a certain type of panchakarma to. The kapha is the one we bake. The kapha is the one we put in the saunas. We sweat them out, and then we cold plunge them to purge all that mucus out. The vata can't take a cold plunge. The pitta, you got to be careful when you heat a pitta. You don't use heat on a pitta the way you use heat on a kapha. You see how this works? You're getting it. If you're not, just get on the website and listen to the show again. That's why we have them as archives. So you can listen. So you can know yourself. So you can get away from this idea that what you're supposed to do is find that magical herb. If you're a kapha, you have some magical herbs. Turmeric is fantastic. Cayenne is fantastic. Garlic is fantastic. Buy those herbs. Find the best purveyor of those herbs, and we know where those herbs are. That's Premier Research Labs. Get those herbs. Use those herbs to decongest the snot out of your body. If you're a Vata, get the herbs that build strength. The kapha's got the strength. The Vata's looking to thicken their blood. The Vata wishes they had the hormonal power and wishes they had the oils of the kapha. The Vata's the one whose skin gets the cracks. They've got wrinkles at 40 years old. The kapha doesn't have wrinkles at 80 years old. My dad was a kapha. Very broad in the shoulders. He died when he was 82. He had no wrinkles. My family doesn't get wrinkles. But my dad died of heart disease. My dad got diabetes later on in his life. My dad had all the kapha problems. He was very kapha. He was high kapha. He's way more kapha than I'll ever be. My brother's a very high kapha. My brother will get heart disease if he doesn't take his kapha down and build his vata. You see how it works? Yes, you do. So the kapha, the secret of the kapha is to get out the mucus, hot and cold saunas, clean out the mucus, thin the blood thinning herbs, herbs that decongest mucus. Colonics are great for kaphas. 10 colonics over 10 weeks cleans those kaphas out. You want to know who the kapha is? The kapha is the one that goes off to the Optimal Health Institute. Now there, you'll get it from this. The kapha is built strong. So the kapha parties hard. So the kapha chooses a lifestyle that's chaotic, like he's a stockbroker. A vata can't cut it on the stock floor. A vata spins. A vata is going high speed as it is. So if you put a vata on the stock market floor, that vata is going to crack. So vatas don't get those jobs. Vatas do research. Vatas are librarians. Vatas milk cows. Vatas do things where they can sedate their nervous system. A kapha has got to excite themselves. They love to multitask. So you've got that kapha, and the kapha drinks, and the kapha smokes, and the kapha parties, and the kapha exercises and gets the heart attack on weekends, but we won't include that one. And then the kapha hits 40. Then the kapha hits 45. Now the kapha is aging a little bit. One day the kapha says, you know what? I can't move. You know what the kapha does? They give up their meat. They give up their booze. They give up their cigarettes. They get down to the Optimal Health Institute. And they eat rabbit food for a month. They spend an inordinate amount of cash to eat rabbit food. And then they get educated about rabbit food. And then they drink all these rabbity concoctions. And they don't touch meat. They don't look at meat. They don't look at booze. They don't look at smoke. They drop 50 pounds, 50 pounds, in 1 month. And they come back looking like they just finished boot camp. That's the kapha. It's good to be a kapha. Unless you're 500 pounds. Unless you're Marlon Brando. Unless you're Orson Welles. It's good to be a kapha if you take care of yourself, if you don't let the mucus build up too fast. It's good to be a pitta, too. Pittas on a certain level are the strongest of all, unless you overheat. And vatas are Audrey Hepburn. Vatas are the most charismatic. They're the most charming for the most part. It's good to be a vata unless you have a nervous breakdown at 30 years old. So you see, there's nothing perfect. The essences of each are perfect. The downside of each of those things are where they imbalance. So when you categorize yourself, it's not that you lose your common sense. You have to have your perspective when you categorize yourself. And of course, it's 10:54. I've got about 3 minutes. And as usual, we've done one-fifth of the show. I don't know what to do about that. If you have a comment, I'd love to know. Should I do part two next week? I tend not to want to do that. I don't know what it is. It just loses momentum. in my mind, but that may be my mind. We were going to point out that to Vata Pitta Kapha, we would add blood type, A blood, B blood, O blood, AB blood. Then are you oxidative sympathetic, oxidative parasympathetic? Then the Chinese characterizations, wood type, earth type, fire type, metal type. Then I wanted to say more about the astrology, not the occult. It has nothing to do with the occult. It's simply scientists, doctors throughout history needed to know if someone was a triple Gemini, or if somebody's a triple Aries, they're triple fire, or if somebody's a triple Capricorn, they're triple earth. You want to know that when you're trying to help people with their health. Then there was Beeler, thyroid type, pituitary type, adrenal type. Add to that iridology, muscle testing, the dark field microscope, tongue diagnosis, pulse diagnosis, meridian stress testing. Add to that blood work, avant ways of determining the blood work. Add to that a whole host of diagnostic tools on top of constitutional categorizations. Typing. What you're supposed to be doing is typing yourself. Type yourself in as many ways as you can type yourself, and then absorb what's useful. You can poke holes in any one of these typing systems. Any one of these typing systems has their flaws. You take it from the upside and then you discard the downside. And you do that through having a flexible mind. You do it through having a flexible mind. You do it through trial and error. You do it through understanding the depth of a healing. You do it by wrapping your head across the concept that healing is a journey. 949-873-2127, Dr. Vincent Medici saying, I'll see you next week. Let me know if we should do part two of this show. Ta-ta.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.